All right, but we got to move on. We do have to move on. We got to get into our featured story tonight, which is all about Renee Good. And look, we have all seen the video. I'm not going to retell the whole story. I'm sure you guys know at this point. This 37-year-old woman named Renee Good was at an ICE protest, protesting against ICE, that is, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. There was a recent deployment of hundreds, thousands of ICE and National Guard. They're deployed by the Department of Homeland Security specifically to get to the bottom of this Somalian fraud scandal, which was uncovered by Nick Shirley. So this is the precipitating event. Somalian fraud is exposed, and we will get into what is happening there because that is very much a part of this story. And you cannot start in the middle. You have to start in the beginning. So this massive fraud is uncovered. DHS sends in ICE and National Guard to investigate and get to the bottom of whether these businesses are actually legitimate. These businesses that are receiving millions, sometimes billions of dollars altogether, are they legitimate businesses or is this some kind of fraud operation to steal money from the taxpayer? And so ICE, National Guard descend on the city. And like everywhere so far, there are these massive protests. And I've seen them here in Chicago and in Los Angeles, famously, and elsewhere. Every one of these major Democrat cities where ICE is deployed, they encounter resistance from demonstrators. And this goes above and beyond protests. It's not even really fair to call these protests. This is harassment. They are impeding the actual duties of law enforcement. And in some cases, I think it's fair to call this a riot. There was a major ICE deployment in Chicago. It was called Midway Blitz. And ICE was all over the city in the Hispanic neighborhoods and Little Village and Pilsen. The detention facility was in Broadview. And you had demonstrators that were sitting around in their cars waiting for eyewitness accounts of ICE positions. And these people would follow ICE in their cars, honking their horn to warn illegal immigrants to get away. In some cases, they used their vehicles to block ICE, or in the worst cases, to box ICE vehicles in, surrounded by sometimes as many as 10 vehicles. Sometimes those people were armed. And so that's not a protest. That's not a First Amendment protected protest. A First Amendment protected protest is when you go into a public space, you exercise your free speech, and you call the people or the government to action. That's a protest. When you're following around federal law enforcement in your car, that's not a protest. ICE, under Homeland Security, has the legal jurisdiction to perform these duties. There are people in this country that have no legal standing to be here. They are being arrested by the federal government pursuant to the federal government's constitutional duty to protect the borders. Federal law enforcement can't operate inside the country. And so harassing them by chasing them, blowing whistles, honking horns, getting in their way, boxing them in, shooting fireworks at detention facilities, that's not a protest. That's illegal. And this is what is happening. And one of those people that was preventing ICE from doing their job was Renee Good and her lesbian wife, who are out there in Minneapolis protesting in the thick of it. And the rest is history, as you know. Renee Good was blocking a number of ICE vehicles that apparently were, some of them, stuck in the snow, and they're being surrounded by demonstrators. It looks like an ambush. ICE approaches her vehicle, says, get out of the way. Her lesbian wife yells to her, drive, baby, drive, get out of the way. And what happens next is a subject of controversy. It appears that she puts her car in reverse, backs up, puts the car in drive, and either she tries to run over an ICE agent standing in front of her car, or she tries to turn to flee. The ICE agent in front of the car shoots her a bunch of times. She dies instantly. Her car crashes somewhere else. They're calling ICE murderers. Now, with regard to the actual shooting, that took place, whether it's justified or not. I would contend that all you need to understand this scenario is to think about if it were any other law enforcement scenario. Because that's what ICE is, after all. ICE is federal law enforcement. ICE is under the jurisdiction of the Department of Homeland Security. So they are like the police. Now imagine if you're driving down the street and you see a traffic stop happening on the side of the road and a police officer has pulled somebody over, police car is behind another person's car, they're writing a ticket, talking to the person, whatever. Now imagine you drove in front of that person, you drove in front of that cop, putting him in front of your car and started screaming and yelling at him, blocking his vehicle, preventing him from getting away. If you think about it in those terms, it's pretty justifiable what happened here. Either the law has weight or it doesn't. Either you're a law enforcement officer or you're not. Is ICE law enforcement? Do they have the ability to give legal orders? Do they have jurisdiction to perform their duties? Because if they do, then blocking their vehicle with your vehicle, a deadly weapon, being told to exit your car and refusing a lawful command, and then not only not parking and surrendering immediately, but putting your car in reverse and then drive to either flee or kill somebody, it really doesn't matter, actually, at that point. At that point, you forfeit your life. And this is no different than George Floyd. It's no different than any other one of these instances of police brutality. How do you not end up in this situation? You don't block a law enforcement vehicle. You can stand on the sidewalk and protest. If she was standing on the sidewalk, raising a sign up and down, yelling at the cops, and they walked up and shot her in the face, I would be against that. But that's not what happened, and that's not where it happened. She was blocking a law enforcement vehicle intentionally with her vehicle. That's not a protest. She's given a lawful command, refuses, and it really doesn't matter whether she intended to kill this guy or even hit him or whether she intended to flee. At that point, that is the officer's discretion what to do. And law enforcement are human beings. What has been happening to ICE over the past 13 months since Trump got into office is that they are being targeted. They are being shot at. Their facilities are being bombed. They are being ambushed in many different cities. And when they try to arrest people, sometimes they're dragged behind a car. They're hit with the car. It has happened. It did happen to this ICE officer. And so you don't want to get mag dumped in the face? Hey, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. You would have no problems if you were at home with your kids. People want to talk about her boy, her son. Well, you know what? She should have been home with her son and her fucking dog. People say, what about her dog? What about her poor son? I feel for the son. She should have been home with the son. What are you doing out in the middle of the street? You're not G.I. Jane. You're not a soldier. What do you think this is? Anyhow, you think this is a free-for-all? She should have been home. Then she would have had no problems. But that's getting to the heart of the matter. This is lawlessness. These people think it's a game. That's fundamentally what is going on here. And that's why I say it's important to start at the beginning of the story. So what's going on in Minneapolis? What has been happening for years, this is not actually a recent phenomenon, for years, what has been happening is that people from Africa are being resettled in Minnesota. Why? Because Minnesota is one of our best states in the country. Best healthcare, great economy, great universities. And so people take a look at one of the most well-run states with the highest human development index, and they say, we should take all these people from a broken criminal nation that barely even exists. It's a completely dysfunctional shithole filled with pirates and terrorists and gangsters and clans warring all the time. Let's take a bunch of these people and dump them off in literally one of the most developed states in the country. They come here ostensibly out of generosity. Americans are opening up their borders, maybe this is happening against their will. But under the pretext of generosity, these refugees, these people are being resettled into Minneapolis because it's a great city inside of a great state. And what do they start to do? Can't help themselves. They start stealing. And it's estimated that it could be upwards of $9 billion of fraud. This is the story from the New York Times. It says, quote, the Trump administration will send hundreds of federal agents to Minneapolis today and tomorrow to support the work of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Ms. Noem, the DHS secretary, cited a major welfare fraud scandal linked to Minnesota's Somali community as the reason for dispatching more agents to the liberal city. A vast majority of those charged since 2022 with stealing federal dollars from a pandemic-era program for feeding children and other programs were U.S. citizens by birth or naturalization, even better. Still, Ms. Noem characterized the federal deployment as a mission to uncover the true corruption and theft that has happened during an interview on a Fox News program. She called Minneapolis the ground zero for stealing taxpayer dollars and protecting criminals. Ms. Noem said that some nonprofits were being investigated for their funding sources and claimed they had trained protesters in impeding law enforcement operations and weaponizing vehicles against ICE agents without offering evidence. I love when these shit-eating journalists at the New York Times, they throw that little thing in there at the end, without any evidence. The evidence is everywhere. Isn't that your job? You're a journalist. I live in Chicago. They are impeding law enforcement all the time. That's what dumbass was doing in Minneapolis. The Trump administration official said without any evidence. Without any evidence. First of all, you're the journalist. That's your job. The government makes a claim. You investigate that. Second of all, everybody knows that's what's happening. Everybody sees it all the time. It's all over everybody's community apps. It's all over social media. I mean, they're not even hiding it. Anyway, this is from Wikipedia. It says, acting U.S. attorney for Minnesota, Joe Thompson, estimated that the total fraud could be as high as $9 billion, representing more than half of all payments to the 14 high-risk Medicaid programs since 2018. So think about, this is the initiating action, okay? Think about this. You've got a state, Minnesota, and who makes up the population of Minnesota? It's Scandinavian people, Swedish people, Finnish people. I think there's a lot of Germans there too. I'm not really sure. You have a lot of Scandinavian people living in Minnesota. Because of the type of people that are living there, this is one of the best states in the country. Highest human development index, great healthcare, great universities, great public services, generous benefits. What's the big idea? We're going to take a bunch of illiterate Africans with an 80 IQ from Somalia and drop them off here. And for those that don't know, Somalia is not even a country. The central government in Somalia doesn't even have control over all of the territory. Most of it is controlled by ISIS. There's at least three breakaway states inside of its territory. It's run by clans. It's not even really a state. It's not even really a real country. So you're taking the worst of the worst. It's not even like you're going to, I don't know, a more functional African country to the extent that that exists. You're going to one of the least functional African countries. You're taking these, and they're Muslim too. They're not even Christian. So you take these Muslim pirates, these Muslim clan, tribal warlords from the worst country in Africa and drop them off in the best run, white estate in America, and they form an enclave. They do not assimilate at all. They form their own enclave and they form their own institutions. They speak the Somali language. They practice Islam. They don't change the way they dress, the way they act. And the people who come here and their descendants are stealing from the government. We bring them here out of charity. We're going to help them. We feel sorry for them. We feel guilty. Why is our country so rich and their country is so poor and violent? Why do we have it so good and they have it so bad? So we embrace them. There's no benefit. Why would we do it? There's no benefit to bringing these people in for us. This is pure charity. This is pure charity that only our country is dumb enough to do. No other country is doing this. No other type of country is doing this. So ostensibly, again, nominally, we are bringing these people in because we're altruistic. We feel guilty. We want to extend an open arm. America is this great country and we're a moral nation, so we bring them in. What do these people start to do immediately? They start stealing. They do not assimilate. They do not adopt the local customs, language, religion, culture at all. And they don't respect it either. They don't like us. They don't get along with us. They have disdain for us. You see this from their representative, Ilhan Omar. She could barely contain her contempt for white people, white Americans. There's no gratitude, no appreciation, no deference. And they're stealing on top of it. They're looting the public dole, setting up these fake businesses. I imagine with their accomplices in the Democratic Party that are helping them do this, you have to have it. You'd have to have somebody who's in on the take in the Democratic machine that is benefiting from this, skimming off the top to the tune of billions of dollars. This is billions of dollars we bring you here. It's a gift to live in our peaceful, rich country. We're giving you public assistance on top of it. You're just stealing it. So think about that. You work as a white person. Your ancestors fought in the wars. Your ancestors built the railroads. Your ancestors dug the tunnels, built the skyscrapers. You did everything right. You pay your taxes. You go to work. You become a homeowner. You're a law-abiding citizen. You do everything you're supposed to do. Every year, the government is taking a chunk out of you, a quarter, a third, whatever it is. And how much of that money is going to these criminal foreigners that do not belong here at all? And many of them have no legal standing even to be here. And they're just stealing it for their own enrichment and sending it to Africa, sending it to their people in Africa that hate us even more. This is what is uncovered in Minnesota, the whitest state with the blackest blacks. The most functional state with the most dysfunctional blacks, they come here, they fucking hate us, they have no gratitude, and what do they start doing? Stealing everything that isn't bolted to the ground. And this is uncovered by some journalist, Nick Shirley, some 23-year-old YouTuber, who just bothers to knock on the door of one of these daycare centers and see if it's a real business. In response to this, the Trump government deploys all these ICE law enforcement to get to the bottom of it. This is really where our story of Renee Good begins. Imagine you're seeing this. And by the way, she's not even from there. She's from Colorado Springs. She moves to Missouri. She moves to Minnesota last year. She sees this happening in her neighborhood. There is an enclave of complete foreigners, complete aliens, stealing from you, stealing from your state, your community. What's her first instinct? She literally is going to throw herself in front of law enforcement to prevent them from investigating and apprehending the culprits. Who does that? What kind of person does that? I'll tell you. A civilizational enemy. That's an enemy of our civilization. That's not somebody in the middle that doesn't know the facts. That's not somebody that understands there's fraud, but also is wary of some of ICE's more aggressive tactics. This is a civilizational enemy. This is someone that is so far left and so fucked up. If these people had it their way, our country wouldn't exist. What even is that? You see this fraud occurring, your first thought is, I have to go and stop the police from investigating? I have to use my car to block the police from making arrests? This is a person that is your enemy. She is the enemy of your children. She is the enemy of your ancestors. Okay? And we don't actually even need to understand how she got that way. We don't need to empathize with her feelings because there's no debating with a person like that. We all know how people are. This is a 37-year-old woman. She's a lesbian. She's a poet. She has a gay pride flag hanging outside her house. You think you're going to debate with one of these people and win them over? Hey, I know you're blocking ICE with your car to prevent them from investigating this fraud, but do you want to debate with Charlie Kirk? Do you want to go on a Jubilee 20 versus 1? You can't reason with these people. I don't care how she got the way she is, and I actually don't think it's worth the effort to try to convince her otherwise. People like this are our political enemy, and we have to defeat them. I said it when Charlie Kirk got shot. When Charlie Kirk got shot and people like this were celebrating, and they were, It was exactly that type of person. They saw an innocent 31-year-old father of two get shot in the neck for no reason. Their first thought was to say, let's go. This is awesome. I said, there's no reasoning with people like this. They have to lose. They have to be defeated. We have to win. There's no alternative. There's no substitute. There's no compromise. There's no debate. There's no resolution. People that do these types of things that don't get it, I'm not interested how they got so fucked up. I don't think it's worth the effort to convince them otherwise. I want to defeat these people. I want to beat these people. And what does that mean? It means that we need our people to win the elections. We need to enforce our will through the law. If they try to prevent it through illegal means, put them in jail. These people are better off in jail. Ask yourself this. If this woman and every other person like her, if we woke up tomorrow and they were all in prison for the next 5 years, would that be good or bad for our country? Because I think that would be the best thing that could happen to us. I don't even care what color they are. If you could take every one of the gangbangers, every one of the Somalis, you take every one of these white female liberals, Jewish communists, and you could put them in jail for 5 years and let the government do what it needs to do, mass deportations, industrial policy, get the corruption out, whatever, we would be better off for it. And she resisted. She got shot in the face. Too bad. So sad. Tragedy for who exactly? This is a little bit about the victim. This is from the New York Times. I'll read this to you. It says, quote, in her final moments, Renee Good was in the driver's seat of her maroon Honda Pilot wearing a light blue flannel over a red hoodie, speaking to an immigration agent who was recording her on his phone. That's fine, dude. I'm not mad, she said as the agent circled her car. Miss Good and her wife, Becca, prodded him. You want to come at us? Moments later, she was shot dead by an ICE agent on Wednesday morning. The agent was near the front of her car and fired his gun after she drove toward him and then turned to the right on a snowy Minneapolis street. When she was killed, Miss Good and her wife had been participating in a protest in response to ICE agents spotted in the neighborhood. She attended Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia, where she won a prize in 2020 for a poem entitled On Learning to Dissect Fetal Pigs before graduating with an English degree in December of that year. Ms. Good moved to Kansas City, Missouri after college in October 2023, successfully changed her name to Renee Macklin Good, writing in a court petition that she wanted to share a name with her partner. In the court filing, she said that her two older children lived in Colorado. In Kansas City, neighbors recall the happy family of three, the Goods and their exuberant son, now 6 years old, who lived in a small home with a gay pride flag in a quiet neighborhood on the south side of the city. One neighbor said he did not think of Miss Good as an activist. He lamented that her son, whose father died 2 years ago, was now without her as well. Oh, boo-hoo. You got to ask yourself, what is this person doing in the middle of the street? 37-year-old lesbian, gay pride flag hanging outside the house. She's a professional poet. Her husband died. The father of her children died a year ago. She's out there with the wife, LARPing as the resistance, in the middle of the street, blocking ICE vehicles with her car. What are you doing, dummy? What are you doing? And look at how cocky they both are. Her and the wife, laughing at the ICE agent. Come at us. Come on, big boy. Try it. Drive, baby, drive. Yeah, do it. And then they get shot in the face. Wait, what the heck? You can't do that. And it's going back to what I said before. These are people that do not believe there are any rules here. For them, it's a big free-for-all. Refugees, welcome. Open borders. Anybody come here. Take whatever you want. Steal shit. Burn shit down. Ram ICE agents. Ambush them. Block them with your car. It's literally all a big free-for-all. And the women in particular, so bold. You could see from the look in her face, that is a woman that has never had any accountability for her actions. She's got the short hair, puffy, fat face, nose ring, crazy eyes looking in opposite directions. This is your prototypical stupid liberal bitch that has never been told no, never been held accountable. She lives in a world where you can do anything, say anything, No one's going to lay a hand on you. No one's going to touch you. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. I'm going to block ice in my vehicle. I hope nothing horrible happens. This is like a movie. She got shot in the face. And I think there's no better application of the phrase fuck around and find out than that. You fucked around, you found out. And I'm in favor of more people fucking around and finding out in our country. Because people need to find out. People need to find out that there is a limit to how far society can be pushed. Look at where we are after the pandemic, the forced lockdowns, mask mandate, and the forced vaccines. Look at where we are, $40 trillion in debt. These people are looting the public coffer. 10 million illegal immigrants in 4 years. You have a crime wave because everyone tried to abolish the police. Summer of Love, George Floyd. They literally burned down that city 5 years ago. And now we have even the slightest semblance of a restoration of order. Trump's not even doing it. They're not even deporting that many people. But you start to just impose some limits. You start to just enforce some of the laws, close the border, start looking into some of the fraud. And these people are out there blocking the ICE vehicles. You push too far. At some point, you have to meet resistance. Yes, at some point, you have to die. You know, you let in 10 million people. We try to enforce the law. We find out they're stealing. You try to investigate the stealing. These idiots are not only protesting, they're ambushing the law enforcement. Ambushing law enforcement, boxing them in, throwing stuff at them, trying to run them over with their car. You think you should be able to run over ICE with your car? So there's literally no rules. You don't have to come into the country legally. You don't have to respect the country. You don't have to follow the law. You don't have to only take what you're legally entitled to. You don't have to follow commands by ICE. You get to exercise a mob veto over the president, DHS, and ICE all by yourself with your car. And the grand prize, if you don't like that you're being apprehended for blocking ICE, you get to drive off, run a guy over, and flee. No, sorry. You don't get to do that. You don't. And hopefully people start to look at this and realize this is what happens. Let ICE do their job. Illegals should go home. You don't want to be separated. You don't want to be sent to El Salvador. Then go home. They're literally paying you to go home. Think about it. With the home app, the DHS home or CBP home app, they literally retooled it. If you're an illegal immigrant, you could get a $3,000 check and a plane ticket back to your country of origin. If you just leave, you broke the law. Time to go home, but they're going to sit around and wait to get deported. And then when we rough them up a little bit, oh, it's the end of the world. This is the Gestapo. This is Hitler. And then you're going to have riots by their accomplices, the traitors in America, then to throw themselves in front of ICE. And there's no limit to what is tolerated there. You get to scream in their face, throw shit at them, block their cars, ambush them, throw bombs at them, run them over with the car. Now, here's the bigger problem, however. Unfortunately, the Trump administration is not serious about any of this. It is good, and I'm actually very surprised that the Trump administration stood behind this ICE officer. That's a very good thing. But the problem is, we need to put these radicals on notice. The Trump government needs to put them on notice, and that means overwhelming force. The problem is that ICE is going into these cities with a few hundred guys, a few thousand guys, and they are totally outnumbered. They're totally unable to carry out their duties because they are being harassed, chased, impeded. They don't have the numbers. And so they send in the National Guard on the heels, and they bring literally like 400 National Guard, which is not enough. And what you see on social media is that these radicals and rioters and psychos, they have no fear. They chase ICE, they're screaming at ICE, getting in their face, beating their chest. They're at these detention facilities, they're rioting outside their hotels in Minneapolis. It's not enough law enforcement. It's not enough, and then the radicals get emboldened. They're cowards. They don't want to die for this. They don't want to get hurt. They're going out there at these facilities in Minneapolis, Portland, Chicago, wherever, because they know there's going to be more rioters than law enforcement. They know they're not going to get arrested. They know they're not going to get the book thrown at them. And so every time you see a video of this on social media, these people get emboldened. They start to think it's a game. This is just what you do. If you're against Trump's ICE policies, you get in your car and you chase an ICE vehicle and we all have a big laugh. We're heroes. You can't let them think they can get away with that. You can't let even one of them get away with that. You need a 100% rate of if you fuck around with ICE, you go to jail. You try and chase them, harass them, you're getting your ass kicked, you are going to jail. But the problem is, when people see that they could get away with it, you get more of it, and you're actually provoking more of it. People love these videos on social media of this Bovino guy, the head of ICE, getting yelled at in Target. These hotels are being broken into. They're doing the noisemakers outside the hotel, and they literally think it's a game. Person gets shot, and they run, they flee. You see these law enforcement vehicles fleeing. What needs to happen is Trump needs to send in an overwhelming amount of force, not 2,000, not 3,000, like 20,000. Go city by city, send in 20,000 troops, shut down the neighborhood, take full control of the neighborhood, get everybody you need to get, and move on to the next. No games. People try to impede. They get thrown in jail. You want to protest? Stand on the other side of the road. These people have to be crushed. They have to be totally crushed, totally overwhelmed. They have to know that if I'm going there, the best I could do is blow my little whistle. Because if I try anything else, I'm going to jail. That's what they need to know. But the reason why it's happening this way is because the Trump administration is not serious about mass deportations at all. They're going through the motions and they're playing up the cruelty of ICE. And by cruelty, I mean they're posting edits of the deportations to music. They're taunting the left. They're taunting the illegal aliens. They send in 200 guys to arrest a few illegal immigrants. And then they post a hype edit on Twitter and maybe they beat a guy up or whatever. They are, it looks a little bit, undisciplined. And this is part of a calculated strategy to create the appearance that ICE is getting them out, that Trump is keeping his promises, it's mass deportations, without actually having to do it. And the reason why they don't want to deport millions and millions of illegals is because that would be bad for the economy, at least in the short term. You could debate the macroeconomic outlook in the long term on this. But in the short term, you remove 10 million people from the country, it's going to hit consumer spending. It's going to put upward pressure on prices because you're going to have to look for a lot more waiters and hotel workers and hospitality workers and all that kind of stuff. And so Trump's friends in Silicon Valley and Trump's friends on Wall Street, they don't want him actually to do mass deportations because you start carrying that out, it's going to hurt the macroeconomy. It's going to hurt growth. And you can't have these aggressive tariff policies, persistent inflation. You can't have all the other things you want to do and then have the effect of the mass deportations. So I'm of the mind, and I said this in 24, they really have no intention of doing the volume like that. They'll be satisfied with 300,000 to 500,000 deportations per year. And that's granted, that's a lot, but it's not really enough. It's not enough per day. We're not going to deport as many as we need to within 4 years. So they want to have their cake and eat it too. Well, we're not going to deport all that many people, but if we deport the people that we are getting rid of really hard and in a mean way, in a very mean-spirited, invisible way, well, then the base will think we're getting the job done. And this is a classic overpromise, underdeliver from Trump. And here's the issue with this. That's all fine and well. And we're still deporting a lot of people. I mean, it's better than you would have under another type of administration. But what you're doing with the left is you're antagonizing them. And what is going to happen in the midterms, what's going to happen in the next few years, I think you're going to get more political violence from these people. They're going to turn out and vote in record numbers because all that's being done is you're just pissing them off and you're not getting anything for it. You're pissing these people off. You're not crushing them. You're not overwhelming them. You're not even doing the mass deportations. All you're doing is pissing them off. And the more you piss them off, the more they're going to consolidate, the more they're going to activate, the more desperate and wild they're going to get. And so I am of the belief, and I have been, Trump is not going far enough in any capacity. Trump needs to be gutting the federal government. 10% reduction in the federal workforce, not enough. You need to shut down entire departments and agencies, bro. You got to fire literally everybody and start from scratch. Start a new department and an agency and eliminate the old one. Start a new department and agency with all your people and eradicate the old one. You know, it's not good enough to trim a little bit here and there. Fire a few thousand people in this department, fire a few thousand there. You need to totally reset the government. And when it comes to the deportations, don't send a couple thousand ICE. You got to send in a serious force. Take over the city and arrest everybody. Arrest everybody that is conspiring. Arrest everybody that is inciting the riots. Throw all these people in jail. Lock them up while you finish the job. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. But the Republicans never know how to use power. And so they get in power. They really have no idea how to wield it. They don't have a plan. They're not ambitious enough. They're not bold or decisive enough. And so they start getting something together. And in the meantime, all they do is get the left mad and energized, and then they lose it in the next one. This is the pattern. This is how they operate. So my message to Trump and Vance and the whole government is get it together. You got to shut this down. This is bad optics. And I don't mean, when I say bad optics, I don't mean shooting some idiot in the face. That's not bad optics. It's bad optics that you're in retreat. It's bad optics seeing an angry mob of idiot liberals chasing law enforcement as they beat an exit, as they beat a retreat, putting the car in reverse and speeding away. That's a terrible look. It should be the other way around. It should be a line of National Guard and ICE moving forward in a line, blasting them with tear gas and them in retreat and them running. And the people that trip and fall over, they should be getting picked up and thrown in the back of a truck and put in jail. That should be the image. So that's why I said in 2024, I don't actually believe that better than the alternative is always optimal. Some people say something is better than nothing. Sometimes nothing is better than something. Because when it comes to power, you win or you die. Those are the rules. So if you're playing the game, you have to win. If you don't, you're dead. If you don't even play the game, you can go and live your life and do whatever you need to do. But if you play the game and you don't really give a shit, you're dead. You know, like that's what people don't understand. And what I mean by that is Trump gets elected. And I said, look, he's not going to take it far enough. He's not going to do mass deportations. He's not going to shrink the government or reset the government with Schedule F. He's not going to do these things. And people say, yeah, well, but a little something is better than nothing. No. A little something is sometimes better, like, I don't know, like a little side of fries or like a little bit of ice cream. But if it's like a little bit of trying to kill the king, no, that doesn't work. If you try to kill the king a little bit, you're dead. You have to go all in. It's all or nothing. If you're doing like parkour, you know, these people that are like scaling a skyscraper and jumping, you can't do that a little bit. If you miss, you die. You have to fully send it. You have to go all in. If you don't go all in, you shouldn't even start. Because if you start, then you're just sealing your own fate. And that is what I fear is going to happen. I think that when all is said and done, none of this is going to be worth it. We're galvanizing the enemy. They're going to kill more people. And by that, I mean the left. And it's all for nothing. So they got to get it together and really drop the hammer on these radicals. Whatever happened to that? You elect Trump, you think you're going to get revenge and everything. Have they gone after Antifa? Charlie Kirk got shot. Have they cracked down on these left-wing radicals? ICE is getting bitched out everywhere they go. Have they cracked down on any of these people? It's time to get serious. But I don't think this administration, I don't think they have it in them. Kristi Noem, she's not the one. Corey Lewandowski, he's not the one either. These people are incompetent. And Stephen Miller doesn't even care. You know, people say, we need Stephen Miller. Oh, okay. We've been waiting on Stephen Miller for a long time to do something. It's not happening. So that's my take on this whole Renee Good thing. People are debating, is it justified? Is it not justified? I say, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. You don't want to get shot in the face 100 times? Don't block ice with your car. They tell you to get out, you get out. Better yet, don't be there in the first place. Be on the sidewalk lawfully like everybody else. The second you pull up in front of an ICE vehicle, you're potentially forfeiting your life like that. Then you refuse a lawful command, doubly so. Then you try to flee, okay, forget about it. Now it's over. And I really have a problem with these people that say that she is, that this is some kind of tragic situation. I don't think there's anything tragic about it at all. I think it's good. Honestly, I think it's good. I think it was good that George Floyd died. I think it's good that she died. She's a complete idiot. She's a typical liberal idiot. Irredeemable, unrecoverable. And people could say, well, you know, that's not Christian. Well, that's the reality. You know, 37-year-old lesbian who's out there with her wife blocking ice in the middle of this thing. That's about as irredeemable as it gets. That's a good day. It's a one less idiot in the world. To be honest with you, people say it doesn't matter what side you're on. Talk about obfuscation. Talk about a false equivocation. Or a false equivalency, I should say. People say, well, we were mad at the left for celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. Here's the difference. Charlie Kirk is an innocent person. Charlie Kirk is a Christian who was legally exercising his right to free speech, doing his thing, and he was murdered in cold blood for no reason. This is a woman who's breaking the law on behalf of criminal aliens and tried to run over a cop and got shot in the face. There's no moral equivalency, and there's no moral equivalency between the right and the left. If some left-wing idiot wants to lay down their life for their cause, let them. Some stupid idiot wants to lay down their life for these Somali criminals, let them. For these Venezuelan gangbangers, let them. And I'm disappointed at all these people bitching and moaning about it. They hate you. And this is maybe my final point, then we'll get into the super chats. It seems that many of the Israel critics on the right have been absolutely captured by the left. And there's this false sense that we're going to like win them over. I arguably was, you know, we could talk about that another time. People say that that happened to me. I'll tell you why people think that's the case. But I look at guys like Tucker. Tucker's like with Anna Kasparian and, you know, there's this flirtation with the left. Let me tell you something about Anna Kasparian and Cenk Uygur and all these people. These are like socialist left-wing radicals. And yeah, they disavowed those that celebrated Charlie Kirk's death. But they're in favor of the transgender stuff. They're in favor of mass migration. They're in favor of all this stuff. And it's not negotiable. The idea that we're going to shake hands with these people and sit down and it's all going to be hunky-dory, you know, it's all cool as long as you are giving up your concerns. As long as you are sounding like a leftist, the left is going to say, oh, I like what this guy is saying. But the second that you assert yourself as a right-winger, they still got a big problem with it. So there's this big naivete on the side of these guys like Tucker and others where they say, we're going to unite with the left against Israel. We're, you know, these left-wing people are making a lot of good points. No, they're not. These communist, socialist, climate people, these are not our friends at all. And, you know, the evidence of that is what happened to Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was debating with these people. Charlie Kirk shared a stage with these people. He would actually sit down and discuss the differences. When he died, they cheered. They laughed. They celebrated. Trump is doing all the things that we want to do. Or at least he's going through the motions of it. You know, in the mind of liberals, Trump is doing mass deportations. They're calling it terrorism. Why do you think they're so anti-Trump? It's because of stuff like that. The left doesn't really care. Do you think the left cares about Epstein? They should have told that to Biden. They should have told that to any of their representatives. They don't really care about Epstein. You remember when Roger Stone showed up and said Bill Clinton is a rapist? And Cenk Uygur and Anna Kasparian lost their fucking minds. Now they go on Piers Morgan and say, pedo protector, Trump is... Oh, now you care about rape? Now you care about... You didn't care about it when it was Bill Clinton. You didn't care about it when it was your people. There was no call for the Epstein files from the left during the Biden years, was there? They don't give a shit about that stuff. The left is using that stuff to attack Trump because they don't like the other things that Trump is doing, like the mass deportations. And I'm talking strictly about these radical left-wingers. I don't even think they really believe in that stuff. And to the extent that they're critical of Trump with regard to Israel, they're not anti-Israel. They love Israel. You think George Soros is anti-Israel? He's not. He's anti-Netanyahu. He's pro-Israel. You think Max Blumenthal's anti-Israel? He might be a little bit anti-Israel, but he's very pro-Jewish. Extremely. Used to work for the SPLC. These far-left people are not our friends. They are not looking out for you. They will not piss on you if you are on fire to save your life. So I see people getting deluded about that. They say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what side you're on. It certainly matters. One side of the aisle is in favor of Christianity and preserving our civilization and law and order. And the other side is in favor of abolishing the police, opening the borders, chemical castration. So yes, right and left are meaningful and real categories. People actually believe in these things. And this is one of these idiots that did believe in that. This is some idiot that really went out there, went out on a limb in the middle of everything that's going on to defend Somali scammers and said, I'm going to jump in front of law enforcement. Nothing bad will ever happen to me because I'm a woman. She got shot. That's the wages. Break the law like that, you get shot. It happened to Ashley Babbitt. The left didn't cry for her. You know, that's the wages. So we're going to move on. We'll take a look at our super chats. But yeah, I've never seen something that should be such a cut and dry issue. And then I see all these other people with the sympathy. I'm like, what is the sympathy here? This is the kind of person that hates you, wants you dead, wants your kids dead. They want to rape your kids. They smile with glee when they see these like teachers in kindergarten and elementary school indoctrinating the youth with their radical politics. That's who we're talking about. They want you dead. They want your kids raped. And people say, well, it doesn't matter what side you're on. It certainly matters. Where's that moral conviction from our own side? My only belief is no blood guilt. It's just like, it's totally insane. The marriage with the left, it's got to stop. Fuck the left, seriously.